And we're back with a brand new episode here at Care Life Podcast. My name is Kenzie Rock, and you are tuned in to the very last day of 12 Days of Christmas. I'm very, very sorry, guys, that we didn't have 12 guests like I planned. Two of my guests weren't able to come on the show, but they will be here with us for the New Year's. It's a very, very much promised deal to you. But before we begin with today's guests, as normal custom, remember to follow all my social media, subscribe where necessary. The link will be in the description down below. And if you're listening to this and you'd like to leave a review or comment, that can be done on either iTunes or Apple Store. And if you want to contact me personally, my DMs are open. I reply as soon as I see the message. So, today's guest, ladies and gentlemen, is a published author, an international speaker, a life transformation coach who is on the mission to help individuals that have gone through serious life transitions like divorce, heartbreaks, widowhood, runaway spouse, reject and fear or experiencing complicated fatigue situations. This coach will help you through life because she has gone through the same thing. She's practically the one person who relates to what you're going through. She is also the author of two amazing books. Exhume and Exhale is one of her books, and the other is A Triumph Snapback, Resetting Your Life Handbook. So, ladies and gentlemen, presenting to you Rosemary Trish Mupambwa. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Welcome to Care Life Podcast.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
We're so glad you're here on 12 Days of Christmas special.
Yes. Christmas.
It is. And I love Christmas. And Rosemary, today we're going to talk about you and your career.
Okay.
Let's start off by telling us your story. Who is Rosemary Trish Mupambwa?
Rosemary Trish Mupambwa is a mother of three. She's an author. She's a speaker. She's an internationally certified life transformational and relationship expert. And she's also a retreat leader. Originally, I'm from Zimbabwe, but now I'm living here in Canada. I started coaching a few years ago, and I've now published my first book, Exhume or Heal. But because of what I went through after I lost my husband, I've been widowed now for 20 years. I lost my husband in 2000. So due to the challenges that I faced due to my widowhood journey, I decided to help other women or other individuals that are going through grief and trauma that they've experienced from divorce, widowhood, heartbreaks, or even losing a job. Or when people have gone through a trauma, even due to being exposed to, you know, like pandemics right now, a lot of people mm-hmm. are struggling with what I call shared trauma. Mm-hmm. I also help those people that have gone through difficult divorces to get through that and get their groove back. I also mm-hmm. work with people that have been traumatized due to war. Growing up myself, I went through a war zone. In our country, we went through a liberation struggle before we mm-hmm. got our independence. So people that have gone through a war zone, that have gone through even natural disasters like volcanoes, hurricanes, you name it, anybody that has been traumatized, I help them to overcome that grief. Most of them are also suffering from complicated and unresolved grief. So with my coaching practice, we help them to dismantle the dark veil of grief, mm-hmm. the dark veil of grief and help them through their grieving period so that they can start their lives afresh.
So you're the author of a very amazing book, Exhume and Heal. What is the concept of the whole book?
The concept of the book, Exhume or Heal, is actually asking the audience or the readers, do you want to go back to your past, to exhume your past, or you want to heal from your past? When I came up with that title, I was thinking about the journey that I went through as a widow. Mm-hmm. I went through betrayal. I went through a devastating period where I had to start from scratch. I went through a lot of people that were lying to me. I had to fight for my life. I had to fight for my freedom. I had to fight to be who I am today. It was a struggle. I was thrown from being a married person into the singlehood again. Nobody had ever trained me to be a widow. Nobody had trained me to be a single parent. But here I am just overnight. I landed up in this status that I never applied for. So Exhume or Heal is asking you, the audience, do you want to live in your past? You exhume your past. Or do you want to heal and move forward? So it doesn't matter whether you have been divorced or, you know, whatever life transitions you have experienced in your life. You have faced the challenges. Do you want to continue living in the past, to exhume that past, or you want to heal from it and move forward?
Rosemary, you have a lot of experience in social work and sociology in general.
Yes.
And you started Reignite Your Groove retreats for women. Could you tell our audience a little bit more about the retreat, what it's all about and what it does or what it stands for?
Thank you for that question. The retreats, Reigniting Your Groove retreats, it's about helping the women that have gone through a roller coaster life. This could be, you know, you have been widowed, you have been divorced, you have gone through a rough era in your life. And you want to start afresh. You don't know where to start. You have hit rock bottom and you are just hanging in the air. You have this thick cloud just hanging over your head. So when we go for retreats, most of these women, they are really trying to find their feet. They are trying to find who they are again after going through all these issues in their lives. So we help them to be aware of their problems, because for anybody to heal, you have to have awareness of what's really keeping you awake, because you can never heal unless you know what exactly you are dealing with. So we sit down with them. We have created a very simple and effective healing framework where we sit down with them. We go through the life challenges that they've gone through. We help them to figure out which one is really giving them the most pain, which one is keeping them awake. We equip them with all these tools so that they can go through their healing process again, get through that, and then start redesigning their lives again, redesigning their goals. Because most of the times when you are alone, you have no idea where to start. You have no idea how to correct where you have been going wrong. So we sit down with these women and help them to figure out their new life map. Where do you go since you have been in the dark all these years? Where do we go now? How do you start to rebrand yourself? If they want to start dating, then we help them to be dating material again. But if they want to remain single, then we also empower them to be single by choice, not to listen to other people, what they are asking them to do. It's also to help them to be strong people in their skin, to be able to be comfortable with who they are. Because most of the times when you have gone through a lot of problems in your life, you kind of wishy-washy about who you are. You don't know exactly what you want. You are either a people pleaser, or you are always scared about what are people going to say, which I call what will people say syndrome. You are suffering from that because you are always worried about, okay, what is my friend going to say? What is my mom going to say? What about my kids? You don't know that you also have a say in your own life. Most of the people are actually living on the sidelines of their lives instead of them being the captain of their ship. So after the retreat, they will come out of there brand new people, very empowered people, very focused women that are ready to face the world and start a brand new life.
Rosemary, what you do personally is very inspiring. You're a speaker, an internationally certified life transformational and relationship coach, a retreat leader, a domestic violence counselor. So what is one thing you wish you had known way back before you began this career path?
What I wish I had known before I started this was to realize how much power I have in myself. Most of the times, you know, when you have gone through tragedies in your life, you lose yourself in the grief. I had lost the power to even heal myself. I had lost the power to stand up and speak up for myself. So this is what I wish I had known. Because in our African culture, you know, when you are a married person, you're always listening to what the in-laws are saying, or you're always listening to what your husband is telling you to do, or you're also listening to what your family is saying, because you are kind of caught in between. You really don't have a say over your life, because you are either embarrassing your family, or you are going to get your in-laws very mad at you that they will disown you, especially if you are widowed. So you are kind of caught in between. And I was caught in between when I lost my husband. I wasn't really sure what to do next, because I was always worried. So which toes am I going to step on today? If I go into the city, who is going to see me, you know, wearing a short miniskirt? When you are a widow, you are supposed to be wearing all these long outfits, black outfits. And it was a struggle for me, because I was really focused on pleasing everybody else. And I actually forgot to take care of myself. So that's the main thing that, you know, I wish I had known, that I had the right to run my own life. I was running my life on other people's consent, not my own consent.
All that is very, very inspiring to many people, Rosemary, because I think a lot of people get lost, like you said, because of either grief or some sort of loss in their lives. It may be a person, or maybe a job, or maybe material things. They may have lost everything, and people tend to lose themselves a lot. But the willpower, the internal willpower you had not to lose yourself is something that I think a lot of people should focus on in their lives. Because not a lot of people get to where you are, either in their career or in their personal life, for them to be strong for themselves and for everybody else around them.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, it's a journey. You know, it is a journey. It's not easy, but it's doable.
So along the way, like you've mentioned in your journey, what are some of the resources that may have helped you, either in your life or your career?
The biggest resource that helped me through was my faith in God. Prayer really helped me to keep moving. I had a team of people that used to pray with me, that used to pray for me. The other thing also was my children. My children were my backbone. they used to encourage me whenever things would get really, really bad. They would encourage me, Mom, let's pray. We'll get through this. Mom, let's do this. We'll get through this. My children were my cheerleaders. Next was my parents, you know, my family, my mom, my dad, and my siblings. They really helped me, you know, through this grieving period. And they also helped me to realize that, you know what, there is life after grief. There is life after loss. And the third one was the willpower that I kind of grew through the journey. And when I decided to publish my book, that book became my manual. Exhume or Heal is now my manual. I move around with my book everywhere. Yeah, I read it a lot of the times when I'm going through hard times. I always used my book to help me through.
Rose, we all know that no one in this planet can be perfect. No matter how much of good luck you've had along the way, bad luck is always waiting for you around the corner just to scare you or to be your bump along the life. So have you had any big failure or even a minor failure, and what did you learn from it?
You know, after I immigrated from my country in Zimbabwe, coming here to North America, I went through a lot of culture shock. I went through language shock. People here, they speak differently from what we do in Zimbabwe. The failure that I did was when I started trying to get back into the dating scene before I had actually gone through a proper healing process. I had a lot of failed relationships because some of the relationships I was getting into them simply because I was lonely. I was separated from my kids for 6 years before they actually joined me. So it came to a point where I was lonely. I just needed, you know, some company and somebody to talk to. And the relationships, they didn't work out because these people were also broken, just as broken as I was. There's a saying that says you attract who you are. And I only learned that saying when I went through the failed relationships that, you know what, I have to take a step back here and go through on a proper healing process, a healing journey, so that I can shake off all the dust and remove all these shadows and this cloud that kept on following me everywhere I went. And after that, you know, I felt like this heavy load of weight has been lifted off my shoulders. And I only wish I had thought about that. But, you know, sometimes you never know until you fall into a pit that you realize, oh, wow, there's a pit over here. But we learn the hard way as human beings. Mm-hmm. We learn the hard way. And until we fall, we'll never learn that, you know, this road is a rocky and bumpy road, and we need to make a U-turn or even to make a fresh start. So that was my biggest fall that I had, and that was the biggest failure even, because I also felt like I had failed my children. Because when I went through the heartbreaks, that also affected me emotionally. You know, I was thrown in between grieving my husband, now grieving these heartbreaks, and also missing my children. And in the meantime, I needed to recollect and continue working to raise money to bring my children over. So it was a lot. You know, it was a lot for me. And if only I had known, I wouldn't have gone through those relationships before I had gone through a proper healing journey.
Speaking of moving, Rose, people have different experiences when they move and live in new, different countries. Some people, it's the most magical parts of their life. And for some, it's a tragedy to them. They have the most offensive time that they wish they were back in their country. So for you, how was it like to move from Zimbabwe into Canada and being away from your two children?
You know, when I left my country, I thought I was going for greener pastures. Yes, and the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. Mm-hmm. But it's not as easy as I thought it was. Because you are coming into a foreign land, you have nothing. I only had a suitcase when I came here. It's cold here. Temperatures can go down to minus 20 degrees Celsius. You leave Africa with your credentials. You come here. They do not validate your credentials. I had to go back to college again. In Zimbabwe, I was the college lecturer. But when I came here, I was asked to go back to university for 2 years just so that I could get recertified. Mm-hmm. And now I had 3 children that needed my support. All the 3 kids were in boarding school. So if I had to go back to university full time for 2 years, who was going to support my children? Who was going to support me even? So I decided to go back to university, but online, so that I could work during the day and also do my schooling in between the jobs that I was working in order to raise my children. And the immigration process is tough. It's a tedious process and it's very expensive. They will put you through all these questioning episodes and it's like you have committed this huge crime, but all you're asking for is, you know, permission to stay in their country. I come here, I'm somebody who is looking for an opportunity. I'm not yet to live on handouts, but you have to prove yourself beyond reasonable doubt that you can be able to stay here. But the good thing about it is, once you go through the immigration process and all the paperwork is done, then, you know, you can take a big breath and you start a brand new life. And looking back, if I had stayed in my country, Zimbabwe, I wouldn't be where I am today. Because here in Canada, it's a land of opportunities. The sky is the limit. You can do whatever you want, as long as you are able to do it. If I was in Zimbabwe, I don't think I would be doing what I'm doing right now. Because most of the things in Africa, when you start to tell people that you are a life coach and you teach people how to get into relationships, people will give you the look like, are you crazy? You teach people to get into relationships. Yeah, a relationship coach? Who does that? You know, when you write a book about your widowhood journey, people will say, okay, so now you have decided to put your personal story out there. Because I remember even when I had started to draft my book, I was talking to some friends back home and I was telling them that I want to write my book about my journey so that this book can also help other people. They thought I was crazy. Like, okay, so now you want to talk about your personal story and publish it and let the whole world read it. Are you crazy? And who do you think is going to buy that book? You know, so if I was in Africa, I wouldn't be where I am today. But because I am here, I've managed to go up the ladder in my career. I've also managed to do what is outside my comfort zone. I started to think outside the box. You know, being a widow does not limit me to do what I want in the world. And right now, I've managed to raise my 3 children. All of them are all adults. All of them are business owners. They are all entrepreneurs. My son has restaurants. My daughter has a shoe line. And my other daughter also is an RN, and she has also another side hustle. So all of them, you know, they are doing stuff for themselves and they are financially independent, of which if I was in Africa, I don't think I would have been able to do that, to send all three of them to university. You know, mm-hmm. think about a single parent doing that. It would have been really next to impossible to do that. But because I'm here, I managed to fulfill my dreams and to do even more than what I could have done if I was back in Africa. But I'm not saying that, you know, people in Africa cannot achieve their dreams. Yes, they can achieve their dreams. But from where I came from, I see myself as being much better off being here in Canada. But right now, you know, if things go well, I would love to go back home, you know, to help my own people, to work with the women that I grew up with, and also help them to see the world with a clearer vision, without, you know, the dark veil of being suppressed, without, you know, the dark veil of grief and pain. You know, I would love to do that, but we just wait to see what happens tomorrow.
Rose, for every mother out there, their children will always, always be the inspiration for moving forward, even when things get tough. And I'm pretty sure that's the same thing for you. But who are three other people who have been a major inspiration to you in your life?
Okay, besides my children.
Yeah, besides your children.
You know, it's hard to say now because the biggest support were my parents. But now both my parents are late. So to be honest, my children are my biggest support. My siblings also, they do support me, they pray for me, and they always encourage me to do the best that I can with whatever is available. I also have my church mates, or the congregation that I pray with from my church. They help me as well to push me forward, to help me to achieve much higher goals than what I have. I also have some friends, you know, that I have managed to have here in Canada. They push me a lot. You know, I have one friend that, you know, I will not mention her name in case she sees this video. Yeah, she is always on my case, like, okay, so now, what's up? What are you doing, girl? What's up with you? Right, mm-hmm. You've published this book, so what's next? You know, so I really appreciate that support. And in my culture, we always say, you know, gara zvakanaka nevamwe, meaning you have to be a good neighbor so that people can help you and inspire you and encourage you.
Speaking of people helping, I mentioned that nobody can be perfect on this planet, no matter how much hard you try. And everybody, you will always make a mistake, either big or small. So was there a moment or a point in your life, either in Zimbabwe or when you're living in Canada, when you had absolutely no idea what you were doing, but you somehow made it work?
Yeah, when I was writing my book and it mm-hmm. was ready to be published, I had the manuscript. I didn't know what to do with the manuscript because I thought, you know, once I've written my manuscript, then I'll be able to find a publisher. Mm-hmm. It's not as easy as that. And I had no idea that there's this thing called indie publishing. I didn't know about that. I started contacting all these big publishing companies, and the amounts of monies that they were charging me, I'm like, what? I cannot even afford that, you know, and that was the biggest challenge. And I was thinking one day that, you know, I've wasted all these weeks and time and energy and emotions writing my book. Now I have this manuscript that I don't know what to do with it. It was only one day when I attended a book launch that I met this lady from my country who is a publisher. And she is the one that now helped me to self-publish my book. And today I'm really happy that, you know, I met this lady from Zimbabwe that also helped me to get my book published.
That's amazing. And I'm very happy for you that you got your first book published and that it's out there and that people are reading your story today. But What is a certain myth that you've had in your industry or profession, whichever type of job you've done, that you want to debunk or you want to tell people that, hey, this is not true and you should just go for it?
The biggest thing that we women of color or Africans we face is discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
Both in our own country, in our own countries or in our continent, and even here in the diaspora.
Mm-hmm.
But what I want to tell people is, don't let that defeat you. Maya Angelou has a saying that is always guiding me, that we face defeats, but we should not let those defeats defeat us. So as women, you know, already we are marginalized just being a woman. And being a widow, you are even further down the margin. Being a single parent, that's another obstacle again. And being black, that's another huge obstacle. And having an accent from Africa, that's another obstacle. But don't let all that stop you from achieving your dreams. Because if I had, you know, felt insecure about my accent, I wouldn't be a speaker today. If I had felt so insecure about being black, I wouldn't be here, you know. But
mm-hmm.
I used my pain, I used my adversary, I used my challenges to be a stepping board, and look at where I am today. And if I had listened also to other people that started to scare me to not leave the country, Zimbabwe, I wouldn't be having my children running their own businesses. Things back home are not well, but I managed to bring my kids over here, and now they are happy that they are here in Canada and doing things for themselves. So what I want to tell people is, don't let your past determine your future. Your past is gone, and your future starts today, like right now. What are you going to do about your life today? Because your future starts now. You know, whatever happened yesterday, it happened. But it's not going to stop you from going forward. A lot of people get stuck in that simply because if they've been rejected in a job, or if they've gone through the immigration process and it didn't work the first time, and then they are packing their bags, they are leaving, going back to where they came from. You know, I always tell myself, even my kids, like, you know what? Life will go on with or without you. So it's up to you. Do you want to remain where you are? Do you want to remain looking at your past? And the other thing is, you know, this is why the cars have a huge windscreen in the front for you to look forward, and a very, very small windshield so that the rear view mirror, so that you don't continue looking at the back. Because you can never go anywhere driving your car in reverse, right? You have to drive your car going forward so that you can go forward. But if you continue driving your car in reverse, okay, how long are you going to be turning your neck? And how much can you see from the rear view mirror?
Rose, powerful words right there, because something that I tell myself each and every day is that Phyllis, when you look at the mirror, let the pain build you, but don't let it define you. Because who you are today, people will only remember for a short while, but who you want to become, people will remember for a very long time. And that's what keeps me moving each and every day, not to give up, to start conquering new mountains and to see what I can be with my abilities. And that's amazing that you did the same thing for yourself. You've done the same thing for your children, and I'm very proud of that. How has this journey shaped you to the person you are today? Are you different from the Rose that was here maybe 10 years ago, or is there a similarity? Is there certain growth?
I think the biggest thing that has changed or that has happened to me is I have grown into this strong and courageous woman.
Mm-hmm.
Because looking back, the things that I allowed to be done to me, or I allowed things to happen in my life, I wouldn't allow them now.
Mm-hmm.
What I went through in my life has actually helped me to broaden my horizon, to be able to step out of my comfort zone, to be able to see and look at life from a different lens.
Mm-hmm.
When I left my country, I was looking at life from a victim's perspective. It was always, poor me, why did people do this to me? How could they do this? You know, that was my story. But now I've changed my story to, you know what, it happened. So what? You know, so what? And I remember at one point, I really wanted revenge. I wanted to hurt those people that hurt me bad. I wanted to cause them pain so bad. But guess what? I never got the platform to do that. And I was hoping also that those people that hurt me could step forward and apologize. And guess what? They never did. So that made me realize that, you know what? The world will continue turning, with me or without me. It's up to me now to jump on the bus or to let the bus go. So that has changed me a lot. Like, I am not going to let other people determine or run my life as long as I'm still alive. God gave me brains to use to think and to run my life. And this is what, you know, I am hoping, and I'm actually on a mission to help women, empower women, to make them strong women. So that, you know, they don't take anything lying down. They stand up as strong, independent, and powerful women. Stand up for their rights and be who they are, who they really want to be right inside. So that we can leave a legacy for our children. You know, right now, I always miss my mom because my mom was a very strong and hardworking woman. She used to work in the fields back in Zimbabwe to help my dad to raise school fees, money for clothes and stuff like that. But I see other women in Africa, they have a piece of land, they have good health, but their kids are starving. Like, what are you doing? God gave you the arms, God gave you the mind, God gave you feet to walk and legs to use. Till the land and feed your children. People are still waiting for handouts when you have the ability to do things for yourself. So this is what I am really, really, really dying to empower women from Africa that, you know what? The world has changed. We need to stand up and support ourselves and not wait for other people to bring bread for us and feed our children when we are still there.
That's a great vision, Rose. And it's true that people are stronger in numbers. You might be stronger as women, you might be stronger as men, you might be stronger together as men and women. And it's amazing how much you are helping both men and women in the society. And trying to make them see a better path in their lives and make better persons of themselves. But if money was never an option to you, let's say you were Rose Trish Mupambwa, the richest person on this planet, what would you do every single day of your life?
If money wasn't an option to me, you said?
Yes, if money was never an option to you.
You know what? I would educate women.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you educate a woman, you have educated the world. Most families are run by women. Women are the ones that control most of the family units. Once a woman is empowered, they will be able to help their kids. Because I've learned that our children are like small video cameras. They watch and they absorb everything that we do like little sponges. And before mm-hmm. we know it, they are replicating what they saw us doing. So I would educate women. I would build schools for women to be able to turn their talents and monetize mm-hmm. them. I would be able to build hospitals for women so that they're able to get good health care. Because most mm-hmm. of our women are dying back home due to poor health care. And most of them, they can't even afford it, you know. So those would be, you know, my biggest wishes that, you know what, I wish I had money. I would do that in a second.
That's amazing. Rose, what's your vision 10 years from now? Where do you see yourself?
My vision 10 years from now is I hope to be owning a retreat place where people from all over the world will be coming for retreats. That's my biggest vision, that one day I'm going to own this big piece of land, build a retreat place where people will come for healing. People will come for transformation. A retreat place where people will come to rebrand themselves. Because I've realized that every time I go on a retreat, I come back a brand new person, even if I'm the one that's teaching at the retreat. But the more I teach, the more I learn, and the more I also get rejuvenated and reignited. So that's my biggest wish, that, you know what, one day I'll be owning my own retreat resort somewhere in the world. I have no idea where, but it's on my radar.
Thank you so much, Rose, for that. I hope that your dreams all come to a reality and that one day you do have that retreat. And I'm pretty sure that many women out there will be glad to say, hey, Rose Trish Mupambwa helped me, so you should go on for this retreat. You should attend her seminars. You should listen to her talk. You should ask for advice from her if you need to know more about what you can do in life. And that's what I'm telling all my listeners out there today. You can contact Trish if you want any sort of help, if you want any sort of advice, if you want mm-hmm. any sort of enlightenment, or you're lost and you just need a friend to talk. Isn't that right, Rose?
That's right. That's very right. Yes.
Completely. Rose, where can they find you on social media or maybe a website, which I'm aware of that you have?
My website is roseslifecoaching.com. Roseslifecoaching.com. And my retreat website is also attached to Rose's Life Coaching. It's called ReigniteYourGrooveRetreat.com. My speaker page is also on the Rose's Life Coaching /speaker. Mm-hmm. And then my Facebook page, my personal Facebook page is Rose T. Mupambwa. My business Facebook is called Rose's Life Coach. My Instagram is rosemary.trish. But they can also send me an email. They can use roseslifecoaching@gmail.com, or they can use rtm@roseslifecoaching.com. So
thank you so much, Rose. I will link everything in the description so that it's easier for them to find you. And I hope that many people out there will be encouraged or somewhat enlightened by your talk today. And I hope that I have you yet another time here and have a brand new episode where we can talk in depth about you as a life coach.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you, Rose. We love having new people, new perspectives of people on the show. And that was what 12 Days of Christmas was all about, bringing diversity into podcasts. And I'm glad that I had you here on this show. And happy holidays to you and your family, Rose.
Thank you, thank you. Happy holidays to you, Phyllis. And enjoy your holiday.
Thank you very much. I know I will. Thank you so much once again for being part of this episode.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of day 9 here at Care Life Podcast. Like I mentioned, very, very sorry I didn't have 12 guests, but I'll make it up to all of you. If you'd like to find the books by Rosemary, head on now and get your Kindle edition on Amazon Bookstore. It's available for you, and with one click, you get your book and you're on your journey to self-healness. Please remember to also leave a comment and review for us. I want to know what you guys think about the podcast. I care about you and I care about your thoughts, because on January, we'll be going bigger and better. But anyways, my name is Kenzie Rock, and this has been an amazing, amazing episode here at Care Life Podcast. Hope to see you here again for the last episode. Bye!